All right, we're doing the reviews and previews. This is part three, final one for this month. We got a nice little stack of comics, and then we'll follow it up with previews of things that are coming out in the future that you can pick up at your local comic shop, online, or wherever you like to buy your comics. This is episode 570 of Under the Cull of MS. A reviews and previews episode. Starting out with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Usagi Yojimbo, Where When, number 1 and 2 from Stan Sagai and Kevin Eastman and Laird. And this is a really fun story crossing over the Usagi Yojimbo world where they're trying to get to a battle that their clan's gonna have to deal with, and along the way they come across a village that's being terrorized by a kappa, which is a turtle demon type character. And so Usagi and some of the members go searching for him, and then in issue 2 is you get to see where the turtles are coming into the fold by being teleported through space and time and to chase down an entity that they're after, and they get mistaken as kappa themselves when they arrive, and you'll have to see what happens with that and what happens when they come across your Usagi Yojimbo and they find out who each of them are dealing with and whether or not their entities are the same or different, and how they're going to help each other out. And it's a very well done story. I'm looking forward to that complete run to see where it goes. Then we got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin, Lost Years, number 3. And here our Ronin character is blinded. The story so far. Then, following the loss of his family, Michelangelo attempted to find peace by retreating to the mountains of Japan. That peace was soon interrupted when the infamous warlord called Deathworm tore through the countryside. The hermitic hero fled southward, where he met and trained with Master Yip, a long-lost member of the Hamato clan. With renewed sense of purpose, Michelangelo left Yip's care to seek out Deathworm, whose warpath had progressed from Japan to Korea with no signs of stopping. Now, while the second generation of Ninja Turtles continues to learn and grow under the tutelage and care of April and Casey Marie, they still have a long way to go before they're prepared for the world that awaits them. But yeah, we get to see our Ronin character dealing with some issues of going blind and being taken in by another clan, and find out what's going to happen, along how long he's going to be with this clan, if he's going to get his sight back, what's going on with all that. Definitely an interesting story. I'm curious where this is going to end up. The Last Ronin storyline was great, and this, sad but great, but this followed up well, and this has given us our prequel to the story, so taking us deeper into the past. But yeah, definitely well done. And then from Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman, we have Vanish, number 6. From Image Comics. I think this is the last issue I was getting for now, but this story is interesting. But it's been a little bit since I read the last issue, so I was kind of confused by this one, where we're at, because we got a character that's kind of turning into an even stranger character. And at the same time, we're dealing with a really strange character that's with them. And yeah, you're dealing with the magic powers and abilities. But this one had me confused because it's been a while since I read the last issue. So without having that, I was like, oh, I hope I'll reread the issues I have and figure out where this story is going. But yeah, it's just, it had me confused because I couldn't remember why we got to this point and why this was happening. So this kind of like just, you had to follow, you had to read stuff before this to be able to follow along with what's going on here. Just hopefully you remember what you're reading or read it all at the same time. Next up, we got Voyages, number 5 from Image Comics. Our strange little female character is dealing with demonic entities that are attacking her, and her group of characters deal with all this that's going on. And at the same time, they're leaving this planet to go somewhere else to travel to another type of Earth. But while they're doing that, this evil entity kind of, they have to battle it, then it hijacks them, and they got to battle it more, and they're going to have to deal with it in the future. And you just got to see where they're going, what's happening with this. But it's an interesting look at traveling through space and just dealing with the different types of environments that you deal with along the way and the demons that you have to deal with that attack you and stuff. And it's a fun story, but curious where it's going. Then we got The Excellent, number 2 from Allred and Milligan. Previously, Zeitgeist, the deceased leader of X-Force, now known as the Ecstatics, is back. And this time he's brought with him a team of conniving, cutthroat mutants eager to steal the celebrity spotlight from the Ecstatics. Most recently, the Excellent stole a spell from Doctor Strange's book of the Vishanti. With this spell and the use of his social media, Zeitgeist plans to achieve godhood. But Zeitgeist's abusive behavior is starting to turn his team against him, and his newest recruit, Tootlepip, is not making matters any easier. To advance his agenda, Zeitgeist has recruited a new weapon, or is that teammate, to aim at the Ecstatics. This story is getting better, but I hate the Zeitgeist character. You gotta have a bad guy that you hate. But it's just, what's going on with all this and everybody wanting to take down Zeitgeist and how it's going to happen. The abilities he's getting from these new characters he's using and stuff. It's quite the twist and turn. So definitely if you like Allred style stuff, you probably like this storyline. Check it out. I was thrown off by some of it, but it's getting better as it goes along. The final one here is X-23 Deadly Regenesis, number 2. Our X-23 character. Previously, Laura's travels brought her to Minneapolis, where she snapped into action to save innocent people from a burning building. But her efforts caught the attention of the local media, which put her back on the radar of her old handler, Kimura. Hoping to capture Laura at the behest of her employer, Kimura deployed a brawler named Jordan Gaston, aka Haymaker, to bring her in alive. But Haymaker has a personal vendetta against Laura and may be unwilling to pull their punches. Yeah, you basically get to see a bunch of characters trying to take down X-23, and at the same time, X-23 is just trying to survive and deal with her problems in her own way while trying to help people out, and it's just getting her in more trouble along the way. But yeah, this story is just as wonderful as the first run. I'm liking where it's going. Looking forward to the rest of it. So check that out, and we will get back to you after this with previews of goodies coming out in the future. So come back and see if you can find something you might want to pick up. Bye. Thank you. All right. Next up, we got Rocketeer and the Den of Thieves by IDW Publishing. The Rocketeer is grounded. After Cliff and Betty's adventure in Europe, with Cliff losing the great race, but saving the day, he and Betty return home with a busted jetpack and a fully repaired relationship. They're as happy as they've ever been, but paradise doesn't last long. An elite band of Nazis, foiled in the past by their attempts to construct their own jetpacks, decide on a new tactic, kidnapping the only person who can enable them to create their very own fleet of Rocketeers. Cliff's beloved friend and mentor, Peavy. Can't the Rocketeer make his own rockets? That was by IDW Publishing. We got Sandman Universe Special Thessaly number 1 by DC Black Label. It's a one-shot. The immortal witch Thessaly is no stranger to dead ends, but she's won the hearts of gods and beings more powerful than gods. And persistence has always been her strong suit. Following her scheming machinations in Nightmare Country and Dead Boy Detectives, Thessaly is more determined than ever to suss out the seemingly impenetrable mystery surrounding the death of Madison Flynn. To do that, she's going to have to get close to the source material, close enough to magic herself into the job of screenwriter on Madison Flynn's biopic. But she's going to need a little help to keep the gig, perhaps from one of those muses the King of Dreams told her about long ago. Okay, next up. That's an ongoing. They have Scotch McTiernan versus the Forces of Evil, trade paperback by Image Comics. This collects the secret history of the War on Weed one-shot, Halloween Party one-shot, and Scotch McTiernan's Holiday Party one-shot. So I reviewed all three of those on our Crimson Cult Comic Club, I believe. Interesting character, interesting run. I'm surprised they didn't add a little extra to the book. Then we got Scrapper number 1 by Image Comics. Miniseries premiere. Game design genius Cliff Bleszinski of Gears of War makes his comics debut with critically acclaimed writer Alex DeCampi. I was kind of wondering where Cliff was going. It seems like he's kind of pulling away from the game portion of his life and going for a different route nowadays. But this might be it. We'll see. And fan favorite artist Sandy Jarrell. Blade Runner style action mixes with big emotions as Stray Dog Scrapper and his buddy Tank fight for justice against the totalitarian forces of a post-apocalyptic domed city. But when the fight comes to his home, Scrapper will face losing what's most important to him and gain a terrifying truth in the process. Don't worry, Ma. The dog doesn't die. I just don't get into animal-style stories that much. But I would like to see what Cliff Bleszinski's doing. I guess I will just have to wait and hear what they have to say. Next up, we got Shit Kicker and Bullseye number 1 of 3 by Bliss on Tap. Interesting looking cover. Kind of looks like it's a play on lots of maybe 80s version action films. A legendary Hollywood stuntman who moonlights as a time-traveling cowboy is resurrected in 1899 through a wormhole in Death Valley, where he will begin his epic journey to pull off the biggest heist of the Millennium, robbing the treasure vault of the Devil's Train. Hop aboard and hang on as we kick off part one of the Hat Trick Saga, written by Matthew Dickens, with art by Julius Abrera from Van Helsing. All right. We got Sirens of the City, number one, by Boom Studios. New York City, 1980s. Runaway teen Layla struggles to survive on the mean streets, far from home. But now, every supernatural creature from the darkest corners of the urban grime is after Layla, and the child-to-be she never wanted growing inside her. This gritty urban fantasy created by Joan Sterrier and Excellence's Carrie Randolph shines a light on bodily autonomy in a patriarchal world. Not into the pregnant teen stories. That Something Is Killing the Children, Pen and Ink, number one. Commissioned covers with art and that's also signed and remarked by Boom Studios. But those you're going to have to pre-order. So if you're going to want those, you're going to have to talk to your shop or wherever you get stuff like that. We got Space Job Trade Paperback by Dark Horse Comics. The crew of the SS George H.W. Bush may not be the best in the galaxy, but they're, well, a crew. Each day is an exciting new adventure in incompetence aboard the Bush. The captain with self-centered priorities spends more time on space eBay than in command. The chief engineer can't even fix a chair. The operations officer would rather be anywhere else. And the communications officer only seems to take personal calls. It's a wonder they get anything done at all. But surely they can handle a simple cargo run. What could go wrong? Collect Space Jobs number 1-4. Next up, we got Space Outlaw, all kinds of space and cowboy stuff. Number 1-3 by Scout Comics. The most dangerous criminal in the solar system, the F-24K prisoner, has escaped from the maximum security prison on Mars. Upon fleeing the facility, he manages to reach planet Earth, where he is intent on resuming his criminal exploits. The prison wardens, however, send the deadliest of their robots to stop the dangerous villain. Yeah. That they do. Another story been overtold a million times. Okay, next up we got Star Trek, Day of Blood, number one. I read the free comic book day teaser for this. If you're into Star Trek and the Klingons, you might like this. Day of Blood starts here. Immortal Emperor of the Klingon Empire, Kallus II, has consolidated power, raided ancient tombs and secret bunkers, taken the power of gods for himself, stolen the Bajoran Orb of Destruction, and commenced a slaughter across the stars. But this genocide of gods was just the beginning, for with the power he has stolen, Kallus is about to declare war on all those who do not follow the Red Path. To prevent genocide unlike any since the ancient days of Q-Na 5, the crew of Icons, led by the emissary known as Benjamin Sisko, and the renegades who follow a desperate and violent wharf, must unite for a common cause. Only they can hope to stop the Day of Blood. I'm not a Star Trek fan, but there are some things that are coming out that there was also another teaser in there that I'm curious if they're going to have that in this previews or not. We'll have to see. Otherwise, you'll have to listen to my Free Comic Book Day episodes to find out more, which I'll probably start some of these out with that. We got Star Wars Dark Droids number 1 by Marvel Comics. Scourge of the Droids, a Star Wars epic like you've never seen before. Who or what is the Scourge, and why is no droid safe? As a corruption spreads from one droid to the next, the Rebellion and the Empire face chaos. What role does Ajax Sigma play in all of this? And whose side is he on? Find out when horror comes to a galaxy far, far away. Charles Soule continues his legendary run on Star Wars with the most ambitious event in Star Wars comics history. Joined by his War of the Bounty Hunters collaborator, Luke Ross, the superstar team carves a new path for the future. Going back to the droids, huh? All right, we got Star Wars Return of the Jedi, The Rebellion, number 1. They're focusing on Return of the Jedi a lot, too, with some of these one-shots. This is by Marvel Comics. Mon Mothma must die. Admiral Ackbar is the only one with the knowledge of the Empire's plans to kill Mon Mothma. Enter Poe Dameron's parents, Shara Bay and Kes Dameron, to thwart the threat. But do they have what it takes to take down the unknown assassin in time? You'll have to read it to find out. Star Wars Tales from the Death Star hardcover by Dark Horse Comics. Guess it doesn't want to bring that page up. Okay, that's No Moon. Even scattered and destroyed, the ruins of the Death Star are a sinister place. From the destruction of Alderaan to the shadow of the forest moon. Alien creatures, phantom star ships, deadly artifacts, and vengeful spirits all stalk the halls of the infamous space station. As writer Kevon Scott and an all-star team of artists reveal the hidden evils that lurked within charred remains of the ultimate firepower in the universe. That's one series, Star Wars, that has definitely been milking the money train. But they're mostly decent stories. Got Steel Siege, number 1 of 3 by Battle Quest Comics. In a war-torn world, the Titan mechs of House Syrah are on a rampage to annihilate their enemies in the last of the Generator Cities. The only hope for peace is a bitter ex-soldier, Vulture, and a diplomat, Dove, who must get across a battlefield filled with hundreds of deadly machines that will stop at nothing to destroy them. Battle mechs have been a popular thing. I know there were a couple versions of that for Free Comic Book Day. Got Strange Academy, Miles Morales, number 1 one-shot by Marvel Comics. And you're going to have to get a description of that in the future from Marvel Comics, because they don't want to talk about it right now, which is fine. You got Street Fighter Swimsuit Special 2023, number 1 one-shot by Udon Entertainment. The World Warriors return for another fun-filled summer swimsuit spectacular. Fan favorites like Chun-Li, Cammy, and Juri are joined by Street Fighter 6 newcomers, including supermodel Jidoka Manon Graffiti Ninja Kimberly, and Wrestling Behemoth Marisa. And why aren't they throwing a little story in there with it is beyond me. Yeah, you're kind of losing out. Superman, The Last Days of Lex Luthor, number one, by DC Black Label. Well, let's see if this is good. It's got Lex Luthor and it's Black Label. I might be interested. Mark Waid and Brian Hitch reunite to tell a tale centered on their favorite superhero. Superman learns Lex Luthor is dying, and he wants the Man of Steel to help him find the cure for whatever is causing his rapid decline. While the world wants to say good riddance to Luthor, Superman will go to the ends of the universe, through different dimensions, and across time to save his foe. But just why does he want to save the person who spent his life trying to destroy him? And will he even be able to find the solution? I mean, come on, Lex Luthor's not that bad. He's kind of grown on me over the years. Kind of like him a little bit more than Superman. Which is probably not a good thing. All right, we got Superman vs. Meshi, Volume 1 Trade Paperback by DC Comics. It's hungry work being a Superman. That's why every day for lunch, Superman takes a quick stop over in Japan to try a new chain restaurant. Whether it's a hearty bowl of curry or conveyor belt sushi, the Man of Steel loves to indulge in the delectable delicacies the country has to offer. So pull up a seat and dig in as Superman does battle with lunch. I don't think I've ever seen Superman eat. So that's kind of interesting. You got a cat that's trying to find his way into a spot here to join in on the show. We got Swan Songs number one by Image Comics. Yeah, why don't you pick a spot there, little mister? Miniseries premiere, W. Maxwell Prince continues his weird winning one-shot formula with this all-new multi-artist project that explores the way things end, and also how they never really do. Swan Songs comprises stories about endings, the end of the world, the end of marriage, the end of a sentence, the end of the world, which I suppose one might consider the beginning of a new world. And along for the terminal ride are some comics' best and brightest artists. The first apocalyptic issue, The End of the World, is drawn by none other than the Department of Truth's Martin Simmons. Future artists for future endings, including Caspar Wijngaard, Philippe Adrede, with more to be announced, all things come to a close. These are the Swan Songs. I don't know. I'd like to know a little bit more, or at least see some stuff. We got Tales of Terror Quarterly, Necronomicon, by Xenoscope Entertainment. 72 pages of content. Henry Lovecraft, descendant of the notorious horror author, must journey with Spencer Holmes to find the most ancient and evil tome in the history of mankind, the Necronomicon. Believed to contain horrific eldritch magic, this book is also sought by another, a sinister and powerful being, who will stop at nothing to attain his prize. Is it Ashley Williams? Ash is the only one that should be playing with the Necronomicon. Okay. Next up, Tales of the Titans, number one. This is by DC Comics. The Titans have stepped up to become the DCU's premier superhero team, and all eyes are on them. Who are Sapphire, Raven, Donna Troy, and Beast Boy? Where do they come from, and what do they stand for? Well, we know who they are. They've been around for a while, except for maybe Raven. And all will be revealed in Tales of the Titans, an all-new series of spotlight issues in the spirit of the beloved 1980s classic Tales of the New Teen Titans. First up is alien princess and warrior Starfire, whose huge heart, huger hair, and fiery fist have made her a fan favorite member of the team. When a spaceship bearing Temeranian markings crash lands on Earth, Starfire goes on a solo mission to uncover its origins. But what awaits her on that journey will bring her back to the earliest days of her youth, to memories of two sisters eternally at war, and perhaps the chance to keep history from repeating itself. So many new characters. I think are old characters getting new stories and everything else. Looking for new characters, not more spawns of other characters we once knew. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Best of Karai, number one shot. This is a best of I might have to pick up from IDW Publishing. She is heir to the throne of the Foot Clan. She is a master of the art of ninjutsu, a loyal soldier, a fearsome warrior, a visionary leader. These are the tales of her glory stories, of her unyielding perseverance, collected to honor her name. She is Oroku Kurai. Oroku Saki. They have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Usagi Yojimbo Where When number one, cover H, which is Amazing Con exclusive variant cover by IDW Publishing. Great run if you're missing out on it. They have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Stranger Things number one by IDW Publishing. I don't like when they're crossing over certain things, but I don't know. This could be fun. We'll see. 11, Max, Dustin, Mike, Will, and Lucas are looking forward to a non-threatening, fun-filled trip to New York City. With the gang hundreds of miles from Hawkins, they're sure to catch a break this time. That is, until they encounter a threat both bizarre and familiar, and some allies that are just bizarre. This summer, the kids from Hawkins meet the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know. That just doesn't pull me in there. Got The Last Witch, Hammer Premium Ashcan by SourcePoint Press. It's an ash can, but it's got a price of a oversized comic for an ash can. In the last moon of the year, 2275, a great war was fought between vampires and witches over the divine right to rule the known world. With all hope seemingly lost, Queen Arcadia enacts a prophetic ritual to hide away a weapon that holds the power to save her kind and finally dethrone the villainous Crimson Empress once and for all. A weapon referred to as the Last Witch Hammer. So obviously the witches are going to have the upper hand in that storyline. So that's a vampire book I will pass on. Especially with the ash can priced at that price point. Alright. Computer's being a little slow, so I think I'll give it one more. The Ribbon Queen, number 1 of 8 by artists, writers, and artisans. After this one, we'll stop for a while. There is something ancient and terrible loose in the world of men. Something that hates them with burning passion, that bears a grudge born of 10,000 years. Something that wants its revenge. New York Police Department Detective Amy's son has a problem. 3 years ago, a young woman was rescued from a serial killer by a police tactical unit. Now she's dead. And Amy has a bad feeling that the SWAT team leader is responsible. As she investigates the existence of a corrupt cabal within her own precinct, Detective Sun soon discovers that there is something else on their trail. A force of vengeance, older than the human race itself, has awoken. Invoked by the tormented murder victim in the weeks before she died, and is out for blood of the guilty, who soon find themselves suffering a fate more gruesome than anything they could have dreamed of. The Ribbon Queen has come to New York City, and when she learns the truth, Amy is not at all concerned that it should be stopped, or not at all certain that it should be stopped. All right. That's by Garth Ennis. Interesting creator. Interesting items that he's put out. But we'll end it there. We'll get back with more goodies soon. Okay, we're getting close to the end of goodies coming out in the future. Let's see what else we got. We got This Ends Tonight, number 1 by Image Comics. Miniseries premiere, Gary Duggan and Jay Lee team up with co-writers Kelvin Madd and Robert Windham and colorist June Chung for this action-packed 3-issue limited series, which tells interconnected stories of violence and mayhem in Las Vegas. In this issue, two sisters fight their way across Vegas in a savage race to save their lives. I like that they're doing interconnected stories. Hopefully each issue is a complete story connected into the other stories. Then I would say bravo. Well done. Yeah. Don't have no cover image or anything, so I don't have really nothing to go on by what I'd be looking at. So I'm not sure if I'll check it out if I don't see a little more or hear a little bit more about it, but it does sound interesting. It's only 3 issues. So you got Thor Volume 6 Annual Number 1. This is by Marvel Comics, of course. Enter Mythos. When MODOK, fueled by revenge and a refusal to ever again be someone else's pawn, seizes control of all of the 10 realms but Asgard, Thor, the Allfather, must step in and regain control of the 10 realms and the world tree. But MODOK's new cosmic power proves to be a greater threat than Thor could imagine. And he'll need the inspiration of some beloved friends from Midgard to reclaim his realms and his awesome power. Till those friends turn on you, and brothers, and it has to be family and friends turning on the Asgardians. Don't know how they can be such powerful people if all they do is fight. We got Thorn number one by Advent Comics. When harm done to the community of Rosebush Heights comes from the hands of law enforcement, city officials, and other legal channels, a masked vigilante rises up to push back against government-approved evils. Thorn takes to the night to make sure his neighborhood is safe from outsiders that bring perverted justice. Meanwhile, Alton Eldridge, who operates the local community center, is trying to work with the city to keep private investigators or investors from buying up Rosebush properties and forcing residents out of their homes. When the kidnapping of a Rosebush teenager sends the community into a panic, both Thorn and Alton spring into action. We got Tox number one by Blood Moon Comics. In a dystopian wasteland where humanity has long since been sterilized by radiation, a woman miraculously becomes pregnant and must find a way to stay alive as multiple groups vie for control of her and her unborn child's future. Sounds like a fun Mad Max style storyline. Don't think I'd want to be pregnant in a dystopian future apocalyptic wasteland time. Yeah, enough trouble surviving without having all those issues too. And then you have the kid and you got to carry the kid around for years. Try and protect it. Yeah. Trakobi, number one of five by Scout Comics. A Slovenian thug in Edmonton, Canada, tries to put his criminal past behind him. But there are those who know where the bodies are buried who refuse to allow the dead to rest in peace. Doesn't tell us much of anything about that one. Yeah, unbelievable, unfortunately, mostly unreadable, and nearly unpublishable, untold tales of I Hate Fairyland. Oh, geez, they should make the name a little bit longer for that one. It's by Image Comics, of course, with Scotty Young. Miniseries premiere, a five-issue anthology series featuring untold tales based on Eisner Award-winning writer Scotty Young's best-selling comic I Hate Fairyland, with stories written and drawn by a stellar lineup of creators. Bullywars co-creators Scotty Young and Aaron Conley pit Gert against an uncouth barbarian in Brood the Brutal. And in Don't Trust the P.I.G. in Apartment 23 by Dean Rakeen, Gert finds herself at the wrong end of a classic fairy tale. So I love the I Hate Fairyland or Fuck Fairyland run. So yeah, getting some extra tales, some little side stories that we didn't know about. That's awesome. Yeah, Under a Blood Red Moon. Number one by Dren Productions. The Earth has been invaded by a race of aliens who are only interested in finding new slaves for their empire. This creates a problem for some of the other species living here. Vampires and werewolves. The more humans they take off planet, the less food they have. Humanity's fate is locked in between these two warring factions, whose only desire is to retrieve their food source. So one way or the other, the human race is screwed. Vampires versus werewolves versus aliens. Who will claim the human race as their own? Whoever wins, we lose. I mean, we're obviously tasty, I guess. Tastier than the rest, because the werewolves could eat the aliens and the vampires. The vampires could eat the aliens and the werewolves. The aliens could eat the vampires and the
werewolves. I mean, why are we just the only food source? If you keep letting those sources grow, then you're going to be in a major conflict between the three of you. And you're going to have to wipe out a faction eventually anyways. So why not do it the smart way? At least the humans you can turn into werewolves and vampires later on if you need more. So if they're smart, they'd focus on eliminating their competition first and then worry about the useless, senseless humans that are pretty much no threat to them. All right, we got Under the Influence, number 1 of 5 by Mad Cave Studios. New series, a teenage sociopath, Paul Kozik, has accidentally created an internet cult called the Hot Dog Party. When a prank turns deadly, the FBI sends in an undercover agent, Kara Cole, to investigate and infiltrate their ranks. Now Kara battles against real stakes, fake news, and memes in a character-driven story about power, structure, and the communities you build. This is a story about click-to-follow cultism during the age of social media. Got Unnatural Order, number 1, by Vault Comics. Chris Yost, co-creator of X-23, writer of hundreds of X-Men issues and films and shows like Thor Ragnarok and The Mandalorian, returns to comic books with Val Rodriguez to weave together dark fantasy and action-packed sci-fi in Unnatural Order. After the fall of the Britons and the Roman invasion of Hibernia, the captive known only as the Druid is released, sending a darkness across the world, an age of horrors, of fire, and entrails. As the innocent burn in the wicker fields, those who would resist learn of the existence of a man who even the Druid fears. For it is this prisoner, a soldier from a different time, who alone knows the Druid's secret. This is not how the world is supposed to be. It's got an interesting storyline. I don't know if I feel like checking it out or waiting to see what it turns out to be in a trade format. But yeah, I'll probably wait and trade that one out. We got Van Helsing Horror Beneath by Xenoscope Entertainment. 32-page story, as usual. Liesl Van Helsing has spent the better part of her life hunting all types of monsters that have threatened the lives of innocents and the people she loved. But when a long dormant evil returns from within someone she holds dear, Liesl must decide whether her faith in her friends outweighs her duty to the world. Guest starring Julie Jekyll. I mean, Julie Jekyll is in almost all the Van Helsing stories. So I don't think it's really guest starring. So every time I pick one up, she's in it. But yeah. Like, know a little more about what the evil is that we're dealing with. I'm not sure if I'll check that one out or not. But they are fun stories, and for the price, you get a 38-page comic. When bigger companies, you're paying that for maybe a 12 to 20 page comic if you're lucky, with a lot of advertising in it. That one's ongoing. We don't need to talk about that. We got Wanted Special 20th Anniversary Edition, number 1 by Image Comics. Special 20th Anniversary Edition celebrate 20 years of Miller World this month with this special gold logo edition of the comic that started it all, featuring the reprinted first issue of Wanted itself alongside exclusive interviews, sketches, and behind-the-scenes material. Learn how Wanted went from the page to the screen in record time and set a course for not only the Angelina Jolie movie, but the Netflix empire that came after. I didn't realize that was all based off a Mark Miller comic. That's interesting. I would assume that's a one shot, so I might have to check it out. Next up, we got Web of Carnage number one. This is by Marvel Comics. Carnage shall inherit the Earth as Cletus Kasady exacts his vengeance on an unsuspecting city, and Carnage reigns across the Marvel Universe. The Carnage symbiote remains left to its own devices, adrift among the stars. With its purpose renewed after the death of the Venomverse, Carnage has scant few hurdles between it and a glorious ascension to the throne of the King in Black, and the first is named Morlun. Excuse me. Is Morlun a new character, or have they been introduced already? Not sure. I haven't been reading much of that run or any of those character runs. We got Weird Work number one by Image Comics, and it has Michael Allred cover, so that's definitely why it's on my list. Got a miniseries premiere. Legendary British artist Shaky Kane and writer Jordan Thomas are your guides through the corrupt, seedy streets of Stellar City in their new miniseries. The hard-boiled noir of L.A. Confidential mixes with the bright, alien-filled worlds of Futurama in this crime epic. Following months of gang shootings, Detective Ovra Sauce is paired with a new partner on a triple homicide. But what were a billionaire's assistant, a hood-turned-cult leader, and Saucy's former partner doing in that warehouse? Guess I'll have to read to find out, but I'll probably pick up issue one for the all-red cover. But the story, it's not grabbing me, so I'll have to read it to find out. Getting raspy throat. Good thing we're almost done. All right, we got What If Dark Loki number one, one shot by Marvel Comics. Walter Simonson returns to his illustrious run on Thor, but this time Loki's in charge. A tale of one Asgard's worst days and one of Loki's best. And then we got What If Dark Spider-Gwen number one, one shot by Marvel Comics. Spider legend Jerry Conway returns to his most famous spider story for this What If, along with co-writer Jody Hauser. What if Gwen Stacy didn't die on the bridge that day, but Spider-Man did? Enough said, I presume. Then we got What If Dark Venom number one, one shot by Marvel Comics. This one says look for more information in the future, but it's got Ben Grimm ripping a symbiote off his body on the cover, so that could be an interesting story if that's any relation to it. They have Where Monsters Lie trade paperback out from Dark Horse Comics. I was waiting for this to come into trade form before I picked it up, but a brand new meta horror story that's Cabin in the Woods meets Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Haven't you always wondered what slasher monsters the masked home invasion family the mindless, unkillable monster, the serial killer trapped in a doll, what they do for those couple of years in between their murder sprees. They're at Wilmhurst, a gated community in the middle of nowhere, where they relax, or try to, until they get the call to go out and kill again. Connor Hayes survived his first slasher in summer camp a handful of years later. He barely escaped a psychopath who built torture puzzles for his victims. Since then, he's been training and planning for running into these creatures again. He's a respected special agent, and now he knows where the monsters lie, and he's planning for war. Collects issues 1-4. I am looking forward to reading that. I wanted to get on it, but I decided to hold off to see where it went. We got Wild Cosmos 1 by Scout Comics. Captain Cooper and his crew struggle to stay afloat in the Wild Cosmos. But after finding a derelict space station, they have a chance at a big score. The captain makes the call. They're going after the dangerous loot, and he'll have to live with the consequences of that choice. Not grabbing me there. We got World of Archie Jumbo Comics Digest, 131 from Archie Comics. Two brand new stories. First, you're a firework. When innocent July 4th fireworks show at Pickens Park accidentally opens a portal to a demon world, Darkling must send her former evil enemies out of Riverdale and back to their own world. Then, in Law and Disorder, Reggie is causing mischief as usual, but Moose gets involved to settle the score. Something unexpected happens. The action attracts superhero Mr. Justice, who's got his eyes set on Moose as a potential sidekick. Then we got World of Betty and Veronica, Jumbo Comics Digest, 27 from Archie Comics. Also with two brand new stories. First, in No Time for Justice, Super Teen, Betty's superhero alias, stops two robbers in their tracks, which catches the eye of fellow superhero Mr. Justice. But how will Betty like having a brand new superhero identity? Then in Minerva 2.0, Little Dilton uses AI technology to help Evelyn Evernever bring her beloved Minerva doll to life. But when Minerva has a mind of her own, she wreaks havoc on Riverdale. The boy buddies are on the case to stop the doll's reign of terror in this riff on the popular movie Megan, which is an alright movie. Definitely not no Chucky. Yeah, World's Finest Teen Titans 1 by DC Comics. Spinning out of the pages of the runaway hit Batman Superman World's Finest comes a modern retelling of the early adventures of the original Teen Titans. Led by Robin the Boy Wonder, a new super team has burst onto the scene. Meet the Teen Titans, DC's grooviest group filled with super teens with super problems. When they're not fighting alongside their Justice League mentors, they're managing their image and cultivating the rabid fan base that helps them save the world. As all the while, a danger from the shadows intends to tear these friends apart before they ever reach the big time. Before they were Titans of the DCU, they were the Teen Titans, and you won't want to miss the fresh take on their origins from the legendary talents of Mark Waid and Emanuela Lupacino. Never got into the Teen Titans. All right. Ongoing. Here's one. We got X-Men Before the Fall. Sinister Four, 1, one-shot by Marvel Comics. Fall of X is coming. As the 19th century drew to a close, the dying Nathaniel Essex unleashed four clones of himself into the world. They've been haunting it ever since. while lurking in the shadows, we know what Sinister has been up to. What about the others? In this issue, we delve into their past and discover their latest atrocity when they start to date. Now, we don't have enough characters out there. We got to have characters that die split into multiple other characters now. Jeez. Pretty soon there's not going to be no humans left. We got X-Men Days of Future Past, Doomsday number one by Marvel Comics. The cataclysm that leads to the X-Men's dystopic future. Return to the future in a tale that reveals the events leading up to the timeless original Days of Future Past story that inspired spin-offs, films, and more. In a world where mutants are more than simply hated and feared, but not yet slain and apprehended, the assassination of Senator Kelly comes to pass, bringing with it the Mutant Control Act and sentinels on every corner. But with mutant kind on the back foot, what links will Kate Pryde, Wolverine, Colossus, Storm, Banshee, Angel, Cyclops, Professor X, and the rest of the X-Men go in order to find some way to survive? And what scheme of Magneto will bring about their ultimate doomsday? Witness the 30-year descent into the dystopic future, replete with previously untold deaths of key mutant characters, as we flash out one of the most celebrated X-Men timelines in its own series for the first time. I like the individual characters, but not big on the X-Men as a group. But they got lots of it coming out. We got X-Men Hellfire Gala 2023 number one one-shot. The Fall of X begins here. The Hellfire Gala is always the biggest event of the season, but this year's will change everything from up for Krakoa. What is meant to be mutant kind's biggest night becomes their biggest nightmare as the Fall of X begins. All your favorite X-Men are going to be left reeling after this one. Shocking revelations, stunning betrayals, horrifying tragedy, impossible deaths, and of course the most glamorous looks of the year. All in one cannot miss package. Sounds like standard X-Men, all kinds of confrontation. And then we got, well, that's the same thing. They have a Howard the Duck cover for that one, so I might get it. And the final one we got is X-Men Volume 1, number 101, cover facsimile edition by Marvel Comics. Like a phoenix from the ashes, this momentous issue kicked off the most shocking X-Men epic of all, the Phoenix Saga. As Jean Grey uses the full extent of her telekinetic powers in an attempt to safely guide a space shuttle containing her fellow X-Men back to Earth, the craft splashes down in Jamaica Bay. But when its passengers surface from the depths, where is Jean? As the anguished X-Men fear she may have perished in the crash. Suddenly, a dazzling redhead in a bold new costume rises out of the waves. She is fire and life incarnate. She is Phoenix. And nothing will ever be the same for the X-Men or for Jean. It's one of the all-time great Marvel comic books, boldly represented in its original form, ads and all. Reprinting X-Men 1963, number 101. I've read that story a few times. All right, that's it for this month's goodies coming out. So check them out. See if you find anything you enjoy. I know I found a few that I'm going to be picking up. And we'll be talking about and reviewing them on Under the Cowl of MS. Audio, video, YouTube, wherever I decide to talk about them. So watch for them in the future if you don't pick them up. Then you can see if you want to get them after I talk about them. Or pick them up ahead of time at your favorite comic shop or online or wherever you like to get stuff. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.